This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Patrick Mahomes, Garrett Wilson with Dagger May here of footballguys.com. How about we start with a news item? We got Nico Collins in the news, being the wide receiver one for Houston. Big contract coming for him. One of my big questions, and I think one of the key questions with CJ Stroud led offense there, is who's going to lose out? Is it going to be Tank Dell? Is it going to be Stephon Diggs? Hey, is it all three of them? Is there not a huge ceiling for any one particular weapon there in Houston? What are your thoughts now that we have a trio of talented pass catchers there attached in Houston?
I think it's the name that we're not talking about with the trio because he's who he is, and that's Dalton Schultz. I think he's the one who is the biggest loser. But when you think about with dynasty value, it's definitely Stephon Diggs. I mean, like, Tank Dell's going to be there. He's on a rookie contract, and why would they be giving him up unless something crazy happens or he pulls a Chiefs and does something terrible in the offseason or something like that. But I don't see that happening, so he's going to be there. Nico just got signed, like you just said, so who's the odd man out when you consider that Stephon Diggs is on a one-year contract? And they could re-sign him, but there's no real leverage there. They might be able to get someone cheaper, or they can just get a third person in the draft, depending on how the season goes. And as far as, like, actually in season, I think that Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs are both losers, because they, and by losers, I mean that they are not consistently going to be the number one target earner. And if anyone's going to get pulled off of the field, it'll be one of them. If they were to switch to only two wide receivers, or which I don't see them doing a lot of, to be honest, when you have a receiving core like that, but it's mainly because of I don't mean this disrespectfully, but a lot of, like, the casual viewers, they don't really consider the wide receiver position to be three different positions. And Nico Collins is the X. He is going to be there nonstop. He's the only one that does what he does. Stephon Diggs, we saw both within the charting, now that we have that, thanks to Matt Harmon, and in his data and his production, we saw a dip. And a lot of that you could contribute to, because of Josh Allen and Mahomes, there's a lot more too high safety, so you can't take shots deep. But that also is that he's just declined, and that's not, it's just age. But we're fortunate enough that he's like Keenan Allen. Okay, buddy, you're just going to be playing a lot of slot and flanker. You know, that's it, you know. And that's not saying that these aren't useful fantasy players or useful NFL players. It just, to me, it means that it may not be, we may have some duds, you know, and that's just something that you're going to have to be patient with and embrace that variance. In Dynasty, I'll do that with Tank Dell. I try not to roster Stephon Diggs.
Okay. Yeah, he's still pulling quite a bit in the marketplace, and I find it odd post, you know, post move and post trade here for Houston. Like, for example, I mean, you're able to get at least a second, if not maybe a second to a first upgrade on top of Amari Cooper. And one of them's a wide receiver one for his team. Stephon Diggs is fighting for number two. That, to me, is a big market inefficiency. And like Stephon Diggs, you can add just a little bit to him, get someone like Jordan Addison, who I'm not the biggest fan, but I'll recycle there and get younger. Do you have a go-to move with Stephon Diggs? Are you trying to move up in a rookie draft? Like, if you still have him at this point in time and you still have some exit opportunities, what would you recommend?
Always to go, always try to look towards a draft if it is a good draft. I've recently been less bullish of building through the draft since we have so many young players that have proven production. Let's say like a Nico Collins, you know, who's still, you know, within his age apex. But, and let's say for people who still haven't had rookie drafts, right now I'm trying to get in to the first round. If someone gives me a first round pick, I'm sold. I'll be willing to take a shot on Xavier Worthy, and I'll take a shot on Brian Thomas. If I'm getting Roma Dunze, that is a slam dunk. I'm willing to eat the lack of production for a year. And to be honest, we don't even know if there's going to
be. It may not even be some, yeah.
Yeah, there may not even be some. We don't even know that. That is the optimal move. And this is like, I know, like you're smart, you know, all the dynasty heads know that, you know, you need to be always thinking ahead. So from my personal, one personal move I've done is, I started buying running backs. Cause like, I don't draft or value running backs, but if I am in my win window, which I try to optimize my teams where I'm at, Stephon Diggs, all right, if I'm going to get an 8 depreciating asset, why not go get an elite running back right now? And that is like a good pivot option, because a lot of my rosters I'm rolling out, you know how many Zach Charbonnet rosters that I have, and I'm like fine with that, because you know we have three more months until we have actual NFL seasons. Like, running back is the most replaceable production, unless I have Stephon Diggs and I can get the elite of the elites. Like I saw, and you know, everyone gets shocked at trades. I tell everyone, man, everyone values things differently. Go send out a trade and try to get CMC. I saw it go down. I'm like, man, like I get there. CMC just got paid to like two more years. So I was like, why would you not do that? And CMC has an old man game at running back. He'll still catch passes even when he's not as fast. So, you know, try to do that.
Yeah, death taxes, and people complain that other dynasty leagues get deals done that would never happen in their league, right? Those are the three things we were assured of. And the other part is, again, you see these deals go down, and then it happens in your league, and you say, well, where was I? You didn't even send the offer. When someone puts a player on the trade bait there, and then they literally telling you, I may trade this player in the next 5 hours. And if you don't send an offer and you are interested, because normally it's junk. If they put Christian McCaffrey on the trade bait and he goes for a fraction of what you would pay, it's on you. You said no to activity. You said no to being a part of that buying process. So I wanted to ask you a hard transition here. Dynasty rankings. And this is a tough room. This is a tough room, Jagger, that Patrick Mahomes at QB5. I really want to hear this. I want to hear the anti-Patrick Mahomes pitch. And if it's tight tiering and he's just a half a hair below four of these guys. But what's your pitch on Patrick Mahomes, basically by the market being overrated?
And again, I always hate debating this, because when I explain to people, they're like, oh, that's a boring answer. Imagine my brain as an Excel spreadsheet, and you first sort by rushing upside and then you sort by age. And that's how, like, okay. And then like passing upside's in there with every quarterback. I feel like that's baked in for everyone, but at the basis, that's where it's at. And then if you look at the players I have ahead, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, CJ Stroud, Lamar Jackson's questionable. He's ahead because he's rushing upside. And that's why I have him. CJ Stroud. At the end of the day, I think I'm not. And when I say this, I used to hate being this analyst, and I've slowly become this analyst. I used to hate people like, at the end of the day, they have similar production and they're same type of fantasy player. I think that CJ Stroud has shown that upside. So he's younger. That is my only reasoning. And that's legitimately like Jeff Bell
only
has done a lot.
The younger.
Yeah, okay. That's it. Yeah, I know. And that's crazy. And here's
so,
what I
so if
people.
Bryce Young, let's just superimpose this. If Bryce Young had the exact same season of CJ Stroud, he would be in that spot. Correct? The exact same season.
I mean, and what do you mean by that? Because like,
he finished exactly the same way. His stats were identical across the board. And obviously he did it in Carolina, so you'd have to superimpose. Guess what? That means Jonathan Mingo did well. It means Adam Thielen did well. Tommy Trimble, I don't know. He would have been alive, I guess. So you just have obviously you have to superimpose that he was being productive with the players that they had. He wasn't playing in Houston or something. But just it sounds like because he's 22 and because he had an outlier successful rookie season, that's why he's there over Patrick Mahomes. He's there over Patrick Mahomes.
Let's put it this way, and I have this pulled up here. At CJ Stroud had like 18.7 points per game, and Patrick Mahomes had 18.6, I think. Or
okay.
Yeah, I mean that's why I'm saying it's like a spreadsheet. So, and believe it or not, by that logic, I would have Bryce Young here. Believe it or not, if Bryce Young did that with, because I know, I know what that receiving core is. I would put Bryce Young ahead of CJ Stroud. Let's put it that way.
Right. You know, it's more impressive.
Yeah, it'd be even more impressive. And that's my logic there. And then and I'm not.
Is Patrick Mahomes too old? Is he too old? Like you mentioned age a few different times. Okay.
No, that is because everyone's discounting to make. I'm forced to make linear rankings, and that's why I say it's like a spreadsheet, and that's why I people think it's a cop out.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's all tier one. I just want to clarify. I mean, Football Guys now has different tiers, so you can actually see, which I've said has been needed sorely for many years. And tiers matter more than the numbers within them. But seeing Mahomes at the bottom of that tier to me is a little alarming. So I do have to, you know, ask about that. And a lot of people, again, I if I bring this up, they say, you know, Josh Allen is worlds better than Patrick Mahomes, and I just go back to, you know, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and these quarterbacks that Mahomes is on a trajectory of saying there's not much question of the next 5 to 10 years. And I can't say that about any other quarterback, that we just don't have any questions really. So I understand the rushing. I understand the age and you're getting younger, but man, CJ Stroud, we have seen quarterbacks start really well and then recede in some capacity that it just does not look as Justin Herbert's a great example, right? I mean, you got him at QB 11. He started out hot. He was going to be the absolute disintegrator of early career production. And look at this cyborg. And he's an example of someone that has turned into, we now need a rebound, strangely, 2 or 3 years later.
Thank you for bringing that up. Believe it or not, like right now we're that meme where like one of us is looking at the brick wall and then one of us is smiling out the window. Justin Herbert was actually going to be my rebuttal for this. And okay. And this is why I don't think like Patrick Mahomes is never going to leave that tier. Let's put it this way. Even if he's at the bottom of that tier, he is anchored in. Lamar Jackson could leave that tier next season. But CJ Stroud could as well. And I was going to bring up Justin Herbert because we saw a similar season with Justin Herbert. He had a killer receiving core. He had production. He looked like the next guy up when you consider how we saw Joe Burrow, Patrick, like the QB market before even had Jalen Hurts. You know, like that was the top of the tier at the time. And then we saw him fall off. There is multiple reasons why we can look at Justin Herbert as a case study. To it's like almost like a Rorschach test to if you think that value has fallen, or is it more that what have you done more for me lately? And then more value has raised up, if that makes sense. And it's hard not doing this without any visual cues. I need to be like Carrot Top and have like charts and a lot of stuff here. But it's like I look at Justin Herbert, all of us think that he is undervalued as an asset. Excuse me, all of us big brains. Think that he's undervalued. Big brains. Yeah. We think he's undervalued.
You even watch football, bro.
Yeah. Like whatever, yeah. You know, it's just like, I think he's an undervalued asset. And here's the reason why. And yes, Pat, no one in the NFL has less questions than Patrick Mahomes, but there is still levels to that. There's still several a huge chunk of QBs who, no matter if they have questions, are always going to have a job and put up fantasy points. Because that is, I've removed my NFL brain from fantasy finally. And no matter what Josh Allen does, he is going to be an NFL quarterback. He's going to be a starter this league. I watched Mac Jones. Gardner Minshew has a job right now. And I like Gardner Minshew, the football player, but when you think one as like fantasy and one realistically what he's going to do for your franchise, he is baseline or below. You are never going to get out of the first round of playoffs with Gardner Minshew. He has a job right now because QB is hard. It is difficult. You need to be in a good position to win, meaning that they love you, unlike Justin Herbert, apparently, because they did not do that for him. And B, you need to be able to win with nothing. And that's where your Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes comes in. So
we will see about Josh Allen this year, because would you agree that Josh Allen this year, this is the closest to nothing he's ever had?
Yes. And here, thank you. You're always bringing it back. We're good here because you keep pulling me along in my argument. Is that Josh, this is where the rushing comes in. And my next argument is Justin Fields. Justin Fields is objectively, when you look at the stats, even me as a supposed Justin Fields truther, objectively bad QB play. Bad. But when you look at the fantasy numbers blindly, Oh boy, you love it. And that's where
rushing
I'm at
is the fast
Josh.
Track, right?
Yeah. Josh Allen has the rushing. So if you look at, if we give him a Patrick Mahomes season, Patrick had 18.6, which is a pretty good baseline for QB. Hell, I wish I had that.
That's his worst season. That's the worst season he's ever had.
That's what I'm saying. But even then, I still think Josh Allen, his worst season is going to be like 20 points per game because I see him.
No, but You're saying Josh Allen versus Mahomes. Again, nobody really disputes that part. I think it's the everybody else part. It's the how do you feel so – I would just – my counter is how do you feel so secure and stable about Stroud, Jackson, and Hurts over Mahomes when you said you have the fewest questions of any quarterback about Mahomes? Those guys have major question marks when you look at 3 to 5 out.
And this goes to – this is actually fairly new. For me, because I have been a strong talent over situation guy, and I still am. That's why we're going to talk about Garrett Wilson later. Like I still am a talent over situation. This is why I tend to evaluate fantasy situation, or excuse me, NFL situation a little bit more with their fantasy, because again, we talk about Justin Herbert when the franchise doesn't seem competent. It's hard to really invest in players because the team isn't investing properly. And then when I look at someone like Lamar Jackson, I don't think it's hard for me to see that anything is going to happen to Lamar Jackson where he's going to fall off because he has been competent as a passer. They've invested and have done all the right things for him. And even if he goes to a different team, he's still going to be a productive player and hold that value. Let's put it this way. Lamar Jackson could put up a stinker this year, and he's still going to retain value next year so I can pivot off of him. And that is also me shortening my window in the way that I think within these rankings as well, if that makes sense. Whereas, like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is going to – he's at a quote like house of cards. You know, like he's that old stone building that's going to last forever. And you could argue that right now CJ Stroud is like a McMansion. We don't know that yet. because we've only had one season. And to bring that back to him specifically, I'm investing in D'Amico Ryan and the Texans because of coaching tree, what they have done and the moves that they have made, and what we've seen in a production standpoint, and not just in production, what we've seen in a winning standpoint in the NFL, what that does. Like, essentially for me, I know that may sound dumb. If you come out of the 49ers offense, even four that you have coached one snap of football, I'm probably going to go ahead and put you ahead of someone even like Brian Callahan, who's new and hasn't had a snap. I know what your offense looks like. I know what that does to my fantasy players. Let's put it this way. CJ Stroud's in the same system as Brock Purdy. We have Brock Purdy propped up solely because of system. If CJ Stroud isn't an objectively better player than Brock Purdy, why wouldn't we already have him in this tier? Because he's in the same system. Bobby Slowick isn't really a genius. He just ran a really good outside zone running game with a West Coast offense that consistently attacked all three levels of the field. Shout out to the Chicago Bears. Maybe they should have looked at that film because they can't do that. You know, that's and those are all my factors. That's how the Excel spreadsheet works in my brain. If I put someone in let's put it this way. One reason why, even with Justin Herbert's down year, where I still think that he was a lot more productive than a lot of these quarterbacks in the league, is that he's a believe it or not, him being a Charger does a lot for me. I will say Jim Harbaugh, hey, that's cool. He is a good winning coach, but with the exception of a quarterback who smashed rushing, you know, who wasn't a good passer, he hasn't been really great for the rest of my fantasy assets. So it's kind of like a show me thing. So it all matters. That's why I used to be like, only the film matters, only the tape, bro. And then, you know, this thing called data smacked me right in the nuts, you know, and that's why I'm like, all right, we need to drop all of our Michael Carters.
It's like, a great quote. Data smacked me in the nuts.
Yeah. So like, it all matters to me. And then like, when you look at the people who like only use straight data and don't listen to let's say like the beat reports or something like that, you know, like, let's put it this way. I thought that like Adonai Mitchell would be a first rounder. I bet money on that, even though there was reports to say, hey, this kid might be kind of a douche, you know? And then we don't know if that's true, but it tanked his value, you know, like all this stuff matters. And to be completely candid to your listeners, I still think I'm like a C. I don't mean I'm CJ Stroud. I still think I'm like a rookie in this game from where I'm at now. And I'm still comfortable being flexible within my process. And this is where I'm at now. It's like, I try to be fluid. And I always say with Dynasty, we're playing jazz. And this is a song that my jazz is playing for my ranks. You know, like, age matters a little bit. Are they in a good system and have they been productive?
Yeah. Basics. There you go. And the other player, as you mentioned, as we're running out of show, Garrett Wilson. So he's going to be someone, again, he's being valued at a point that it's as if he already broke out. I will say this. So you have my wide receiver 3, and this is tier 1. It's all tier 1. But Amon-Ra St. Brown, CD Lamb. I think you might be the only person on earth that has Garrett Wilson over those two guys. So when you said production,
did you go to footballguys.com and look at that up?
Yeah, it's right here.
Okay, that's wrong, and I've told them to fix that. Like, that's not what is it on the back end.
Oh, no. What is it? For the record, clear the record. Where is he?
CeeDee Lamb's ahead of Garrett Wilson.
Okay, but I still have St. Brown's behind, right?
Yeah, so, like, okay. It's not all good, but, like, okay. It is better.
Well, okay, so Garrett Wilson over Amon-Ra St. Brown. Unpack.
Take all the things I said about the quarterback position, and you could kind of apply them a little bit to the wide receiver. And Garrett Wilson is an example of what I think is a hyper-talented player that we've seen be productive. And productive, I guess, is a relative term. We've seen him be a player that you're still going to put in your fantasy lineups and still put up numbers when he's literally, when I say he's had borderline, he's had historically bad QB play. Tim Boyle as like a product. Did you look at Tim Boyle's like QB numbers as like a joke? If you want to look at a meme, look at Tim Boyle's QB numbers, and the Jets allowed him to throw passes for them and they paid him money to do that. And he's been a productive player. And then when we look at his charting and what he is as a player, meaning that he's winning every snap, even though he's not eating the ball because Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle, that he's doing his job essentially. Like if you look at his reception perception profile, it's all green. It's nothing but green. If you want to just be a highlight bro, it's nothing but green. If you look at his most of his peripherals, like there's been very few wide receivers who have commanded 200 targets within their first two seasons. It's just been him. And this is why I tell people, don't let bad players influence your decisions that much. Zach Wilson is gone. The bad man is gone. And even with Aaron Rodgers and him being an older player that's coming off the Achilles, he's in that, or he used to be in that Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and this is NFL terms, of a player that no matter what, you're probably going to bet on him because they're such a talented individual. And not only just that, what the depth that they put at the QB position after that to not make those same mistakes. Everything that we've seen for Garrett Wilson, I don't feel bad. He's a Justin Jefferson level talent. With Matt Harmon, anyone we look at his film, he shows that same talent. His problem is he's been a Jet. He just happens to be the only Jet in history to seem to even have any hope besides that. And I'm willing to die on that hill. That's one that I'm crazy. Now, with all that hype about Garrett Wilson, I will say Amon-Ra St. Brown is an excellent player. And here's why I put Garrett Wilson above that. And I think that Garrett Wilson will always have upside that Amon-Ra St. Brown does it. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a pure slot, rarely even a flanker. And with that, he can lose a lot of touchdown equity, especially when you have someone else like Jameson Williams or Josh Reynolds that'll play Z from flanker on the outside and get the big plays. And then Sam Laporta and Jahmyr Gibbs, who are going to get a lot in the red zone. I know that sounds very fickle, but a player like Garrett Wilson that a team can move across the formation, I find more valuable than even a player that is elite at the position that they are in. Let's say like the Cooper Cups or Amon-Ra St. Browns.
To me, it's just such a leap of faith, like that it has to happen, right? I mean, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback upgrade we need for Garrett Wilson, right? So 40-year-old coming off Achilles, what's 2025 like? So quarterback, he could have part of a year, most of a year, a whole year with Aaron Rodgers that the Packers got rid of because he fell off and they obviously need to move on as well. But, and then we could go right back to Garrett Wilson needing a quarterback. That is fully in play here. Man, I just, Garrett Wilson's the one that it just seems like he has to break out. And so big. Like, I think if he's a wide receiver 12 this year, there will be a faction that views that as a graphic disappointment.
Really?
Which will be fascinating to see. Well, you're in Dynasty, he's already valued higher. At some point, don't you have to produce to the level of your ranking? At some point, at some moment, don't you have to supersede what your value, what your ranking is to actually produce that or higher at some point? Because he hasn't yet. He's been tremendously higher than what he's done so far in terms of dynasty valuation. So at some point, he's like Drake London. At some point, you have to go above that. So if he's already in the top 5 to 8 by a lot of people, at some point, I think you got to post a season like that. So we will see. Again, I think he's an obvious breakout candidate.
Yeah.
But you're depending on Aaron Rodgers duct taping himself together and the Jets not pulling a Jets and basically like reverting everything on a team that has built it around a win now scenario that now is on a 40-year-old Achilles and a guy that's becoming less mobile by the day. So that, I hope it works. I hope they can win 10 games. Hope it works. Because Garrett Wilson would be a big benefactor here. Big benefactor for everybody is Jagger May coming on the show this week. Thank you so much, Jagger, for coming on. What are some of the things you have dynasty rankings up at Football Guys? You're also in the podcasting, the video game there. What are some of the big points that you would like to highlight in terms of your content since the draft, what you plan on as we barrel towards week one?
Well, right now we're in off-season mode, which means that we're mainly talking about startups. And then like the next episode we're talking about is trades. We've already kind of went through our rankings and that's mainly us starting a new show and making content to show who we are. Cause it's me and Jeff after it's like the third iteration of this now. And we started a new channel. So that's the only thing that's new going on is that me and Jeff are over on the Dynasty Show. We've got a new YouTube channel And we're just trying to have fun. We're trying to bring on as many guests as we can. I'm pretty sure we're going to be asking you at some point on there. We're trying to bring everyone on and bring up. And I'm not like Jeff. I like the conflict. Believe it or not, this is like the most fun I've had on the pod in a long time. And like you said, you're a tough room. So we want to bring a lot of that energy to our podcast where we're going to have fun, but we are still going to be the dynasty nerds that we are, even though that sometimes Alfredo wants us to make more SEO friendly content.
I love it. And honestly, what I love about this is it's like a first date and we are mixing it. I held back a little bit. I'm trying to be the congenial host here, but man, we could have gone at it. See, I love the debates where it's like, if we know, like, hey, let's go, like, let's prepare. Let's pretend I wasn't on debate team, but I have a feeling either you were, or you would have loved it. You know,
I was on debate and mock trial, man.
Oh, look at this. You double dipped. All right. Well, the point is, I mean, again, I am all about it. And you know what? You're the first person I've had on in so long that just blew up the few notes I had. Can't get to it all. Programmed way too much for this show. And that's why we got to skip over it, because quarterback debate ended up being most of it, which I love. Again, rip that thing up, throw it away. Talk about one thing, really hit it for 20, 25, 30 minutes. So we could have done that. We could have picked any two players, I think, and we would have chopped it. So debate team enabled for future content for everyone listening. Jagger May, thanks so much for coming on, sharing your time and talents. I am Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.